Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. This is your extra show for the week. I am your host as always, Cammy Bell, and I'm delighted to be joined by my very good friend, Mr. Simon Halloran. Simon, thank you very much for coming on. Very much appreciated and always a pleasure to talk to you about all things Rangers.
Yeah, same to you. Good to be on as ever. Looking forward to having a wee chat about what's to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, Simon, before we get into all of that, and there is a bit of it, I will pass on my apologies to the listeners. I know that Extra normally comes out on a Thursday. We're a wee bit late this week. That is my fault due to a scheduling problem, but we will crack on and hopefully make up for it with some great chat, I hope, Simon. Really interesting developments across the course of this week, Simon, where we have had the announcements for the PFA Player of the Year. Yep. Some... I think very worthwhile candidates. Matt O'Reilly of Celtic, I think, you know, take the blue-tinted specs off, I still see that he's obviously made a strong impact to that Celtic team. Lawrence Shankland, but most importantly for us, Jack Butland and James Tavernier have also been nominated as well. What's your initial thoughts when you heard those names coming out, Simon? I'm fairly sure, you know, you were back and forth on Lawrence Shankland and his potential move to Rangers. But I'll be honest with you, again, in all sense of fairness, I would, you know, not really be arguing against any of those candidates being up for the award.
Yeah, that's probably your standout four this season. I mean, we all know what Tavernier can bring to the team, and he's dug us out a hole so many times. Same with Jack Butland, really, throughout the season. God knows where we'd be without the tournament at times. Shankland, I mean, the stats say, oh, what is it, 28 goals in all competitions this season? Yeah, he's a player I really like. He's a goal scorer. He's someone I hope we go for in the summer. O'Reilly, he had a good start to the season. He had a good 4 or 5 months, and then he's kind of tailed off in the last month or so. Last 2 months or so, really, since the link to was Atletico Madrid, and even admitted, yeah, I think, saying that his head had been turned a little. So, I mean, the first half of the season, he was definitely the standout, I'd say. But now, I'd probably say it's between Butland and Lawrence Shankland, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if it speaks volumes of how well your team have done with a goalkeeper being a nominee. But, you know, I think most people will know if they've either listened to our free-to-air shows or alternatively on our Patreon. I've waxed lyrical about the fact that Jack Butland has made such a significant impression in terms of being able to come in and fill some huge gloves in terms of Alan McGregor. And we know that McGregor did go off the boil in his last season. I don't think it's been churlish to suggest otherwise. But I think for me, I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head, Simon, as to how many points I think Jack Butland has won us across the course of this season. And so recently evidenced last weekend in St Mirren, where, I mean, a save, he has no right to make to be able to keep us in the game just before half time. And obviously we go on to win the 3 points, but he has been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's one of those players where there were some doubts when he originally came in. He hadn't really played first team football in what, 2.5-3 seasons, so there were some doubts over him, and that was mostly from down south. I mean, we've seen in his early days he was a really highly rated young keeper. He's been sitting second and third choice over the last couple of years, and he did. He came up here with something to prove, and within the first month or two, you could see that he was a goalkeeper that we'd been lacking really for some time. That was no disrespect to Alan McGregor, it was just his time. But Butland's came in, took over one legendary goalkeeper's jersey, and he's looking to make it his own. And the thing is now, are we going to be able to hold on to him more than the summer? That's the question. And the next few weeks will probably decide that in terms of the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because I think the challenge for us in terms of, you have a player who comes in, does really, really well, but our player trading model is such that we want to be able to buy cheap and sell high, right? So that's fair, right? I understand all of that.
Yep.
The challenge for us is to stay true to that model, and you're going to have to let go of players like Jack Butland if that was going to be the case. I get a feeling from him that he wants to play regular football, and unless a buying club is willing to be able to offer that to him in serious terms, then I don't think he wants to be able to move. I think that there's been parts of his career where he's missed prolonged stints on the bench, which has then meant that he's not been able to play his role. And he's certainly got that at Rangers. No one's moving him out of that spot. The only way how we replace a goalkeeper now is obviously if we lose him. What's your thoughts on Tavernier being included under some criticism in recent weeks due to, I think what's fair to say, a little bit of a drop in performance, but there's, you know, he's still a top goal scorer. You know, he still makes massive contributions. Again, using St Mirren on Sunday as a good example of, you know, that delicious cross that puts in, you know, Cyril Dessers, and we get the winner from it. He is a captain extraordinaire.
Yeah, I think the positives.
That's what I was going to say, was the positives, I think, massively outweigh the negatives. But again, I think that there's just been some times where it's fair to say he has looked tired, he has looked jaded at certain points, and I don't think that helps his game whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's possibly down to the lack of options we've got all throughout the squad, really, at the moment, due to injuries and whatnot. Obviously, Sterling can cover there, but he's having to cover in other positions in the park. So ideally, Tav would be rested for a few weeks at a time, and we'd be able to bring Sterling in. But as such, as you said, the positives still outweigh the negatives. And the thing is, with Tav, he never lets his head go down in that respect. I know some people have been on him over the last couple of weeks, and there has been some big errors early on in games that have nearly cost us. And that's something that the manager's got to drum into the players, not just Tavernier as well, that they've got to shake off. Because I think we mentioned this the other day on one of the pods, that how many times that will give away a chance within the first minute or 2 minutes, and that obviously resulted in a goal against Celtic, nearly resulted in a goal up at Ross County, and then obviously the St Mirren chance right away after 45 seconds. So for me, the concentration's always been an issue really for Tavernier at times, but the goals and the assists far outweigh what's happening at the other end of the park for me.
So I'm going to assume, before you cause a riot, that you would like to see a Rangers player win it. Which one of the two nominees?
Butland, I think, deserves to win it. Just a bit of since he's come in the door, he's been just a commanding figure, just the respect he commands from his teammates. He's got full trust of the manager as well, and he just seems like one of these natural-born leaders already in the squad. I mean, he's been here less than a season. Looks like, in my opinion, the de facto captain, if and when Tavernier goes. That's if Butland even stays as well, but there's just that, he gives off that air about him, that the players all look up to him. And you can see from the, as we'll discuss about the player awards, he swept the board at that as well. So he's got the respect of his teammates, and you can definitely see he's enjoying his time here, and there's still a bit to prove for him in terms of what he wants to win here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, as you mentioned there, obviously won player of the season, got the fans vote as well. I think, you know, everything you've said is totally true in terms of what he brings into the team, etc. And I think that's why you know, there has obviously been discussions that if he were to move, he would be a massive miss, and that's just part and parcel of it. But I do get the impression from what you see from him and what you hear from him and the dialogue that he has, because obviously there's been a lot of attention brought forward because he's a potential England call-up. But yeah, when he's spoken about all of those kind of things, he's always kept his feet in the ground. I think he does enjoy, you know, his time at Rangers. I think that, you know, it would have to be an incredibly attractive move that was in his best benefit to get him to consider, you know, leaving Rangers.
Who was it? Was it Nottingham Forest in January that were after him? Was he going to be getting regular game time there? That's the thing. They just spend money willy-nilly at times down there, and their status in the Premiership's a bit on a sugary peg just now. So it's probably wise that he did reject that move. The type of move, I mean, he could go to any of the sort of mid-range clubs down there, no problem, and play weekly. But does he fancy that? Does he have higher aspirations now? Does he want to play Champions League football again next season, give it another crack here, or does he want to try his hand abroad? That's maybe something else that might take his fancy. But if I was him right now, as we are speaking, I would probably say he would be inclined to at least stay at Rangers another year, win or lose in the league title race, because I think the Champions League's the sort of place that he wants to be playing his football, and we're probably the best bet to offer him it.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be remiss of us as well, Simon, not to mention the nominees for Young Player of the Year, or Men's Young Player of the Year, I should say, I beg your pardon. Mm-hmm. And that's Dundee's Lyle Cameron, David Watson of Kilmarnock, Lennon Miller of Motherwell, and our very own Ross McCausland. This one, I think, is going to be a harder vote if you're considering going for Ross McCausland. I think he's done very well. I think he has... The biggest compliment I can probably pay him, Simon, is I don't really see him as a youth prospect coming into the first team now. I just see him as a first team player.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this makes sense to you when I say it, but one of the biggest compliments I can pay him is that when he gets criticised, he gets criticised because we treat him as, you know, that higher standard of player. I think when you see youth prospects coming in, you give them a lot of leeway because you know that they're still within their development journey. And Ross McCausland is, but I'm not saying he's a finished article. I don't think anyone believes that yet, because I know that he's got more levels that he can go into. But when he comes in and he plays a regular amount of time for, you know, a regular period of time for the first team, he becomes more and more involved. I think he just settles into the squad and people then start to think of him as an option, even a potential default option in some cases. We haven't dealt with things well enough on the right-hand side. I think that's fair to say for some time. He has come in and I think he has done very, very well there. All that being said, I would struggle to justify him winning this given some of the other candidates, because I do like some of the other names mentioned.
Yeah, I think due to how late he broke through into the squad this season, what was it, November time, and then obviously a couple of injuries as well. So I mean, I do like him as a player. I think he's going to do good things for us going forward. Problem area on the pitch where we've been crying out for someone. And I do think he's been dealt a bit of a harsh hand at times in terms of team selection, not getting games when he should have been getting games. Case in point, when he came on against Hearts, he was really good. He didn't let his head drop at all in the semi-final, replacing Seaman. For me, he should have been reintroduced to the team a good couple of weeks. You've seen Scott Wright getting games and you're thinking, why is this happening constantly? And he's getting hauled off at half-time. McCausland's sitting there twiddling his thumbs on the bench. So for me, that he should have been reintroduced back in after the international break, and might have not seen the downturn in results by dropping certain players. And you've seen Diomande dropped out of the team as well, the downturn in form. But for me, it's probably too early to win this award for him. I do like the boy, David Watson at Kilmarnock. He's a player I'd hope that we're kind of keeping an eye on for the future. Even to sign him in the summer and loan him back to Killie, something like that. Miller at Motherwell, another good player as well. So I'd say it's probably between those two. I would probably tip Watson to win it. And he'll be the one that'll go for decent money probably in the summer. And I just hope that we are sniffing about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just to round this off as well, in terms of the Scottish Women's Premier Player of the Year Award, congratulations to both Kirsty McLean and Rachel Rowe of Rangers to be nominated for that, alongside Celtic's Amy Gallagher and Hibs' Yoren Bukum. Simon, again, like I say, I think that we don't know what the season's going to shape out like, right? We've obviously been talking about it for a long time here in Heart and Hands in terms of the ups and downs that we've had.
Yeah.
But what I would like is just to take a moment is that for both the men and women's teams, some phenomenal achievements to be considered at this side of the season in terms of being involved in those nominations and where we were compared to where we are now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, we'll talk about the women as well. They've went through a different period with a new manager coming in. She's won the first trophy of the season there. And they look as if they'll go on now and probably do the treble at that. They're back to the joint top of the league. They're playing Celtic next weekend. Next Monday, I think it is, in the league. So that's pretty much a decider, being joint top. And then they've got the Scottish Cup final against Hearts. So you would say that the ladies' team are probably odds on to go on and win a treble. Our side of things, the men's side of things, you look at, what was it, 8, 9, 10, 11 points at one point behind before we played the same day as Celtic. Getting ourselves in front was the big thing. We felt we would go and kick on. Then we look at the downturn in results over the last couple of weeks. I mean, getting us into that position in the first place was a bloody miracle, and now still gutting, thinking about it and chucking it away, really, on those two games at Ross County and Dundee. But stranger things have happened.
And the Motherwell, of course.
Yes, and the Motherwell game as well. Stranger things have happened. We could turn it round. We would need to go and win this weekend, and then we'd need to go next weekend again at the Parkhead and win there. And then even that, you'd still be behind in goal difference probably. So it's a long shot, but never say never.
No, very true, very true. Well, let's move on to that then, as we look forward to Sunday and a welcome return to Ibrox. Nearly a month, Simon, since we've been at home. Obviously, that Old Firm draw at the beginning of April, and we've got Kilmarnock coming to town. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, as we've all kind of said in the run-up to the split, and then obviously the split itself, We've had to make sure that we could go and win our games. We've obviously not been able to achieve some of that, which has naturally been disappointing. What's interesting to me, though, Simon, is this is a Kilmarnock team that isn't going to come just to, tick the boxes, and they're not going to be able to come and just dial it in. They will come to make an impression. I think that, we certainly get taught that at the beginning of the season, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we've got to assume, and listen, I will be more than happy to have been proven wrong, that Celtic will win at home against Hearts on Saturday, so we assume that they will extend their lead. We've got to be able to deal with that scoreboard pressure. Mm-hmm. But equally, what are you looking for in terms of a performance, irrespective of the Celtic result? What's the core basics that you need to see at the moment?
Well, I mean, to start with, I want to see, hopefully, the return of Yilmaz into the squad, at least. We have you to playing him next weekend. But we know what kind of team lineup Derek McInnes will come with, and they're so hard-working. We see all the games we've played against them this season, even the Ibrox games, we've struggled a little bit as well. And I don't know what it is about Kilmarnock. They just seem to be a wee bit of a bogey team just now, even though we've had the two wins already earlier on this year against them. But I just want to see a good performance. I'm not expecting us to go and rack up 3-4-0 wins to try and eat into the goal difference. And that's just not going to happen. Kilmarnock are a really disciplined side. They've got some good defenders, Lewis Mayo, Stuart Finlay, guys like that. So they're two players that are actually been really decent this season for them. I know Finlay's only on loan. Mayo's maybe one we could look to in the future as a potential squad option to bring back. Whether he'd be happy doing that, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'm looking to see Dessers maintain the form that he's got. 3 goals in 2 games, if he can just keep that going over the next couple of games, you never know, we might get an upturn in results and be in with a chance at the league title. Defensively, I want to see us keep the same back four, basically, for the unless Yilmaz is available. Tav, obviously, right back, Suter and Balogun in the central area. The midfield's the one that's a flip of the coin for me. Lundstrom, obviously, I think his head's gone now. He's rumoured to be going to Trabzonspor, so I just, the form's completely fell off a cliff for him, and he's regressed back into that, going back into the back three sort of set up and just easy passes. And that's what the manager even said when he came in, first of all. He didn't want to see that type of stuff. And he can't be happy sitting watching that because it's all Lundstrom's doing. Now he's taking the short, easy passes because he knows that his form's away. Whenever he's hitting the longer balls, they're just either going out of play or they're going to an opposition player. So I would look to get him out of the squad, out of his team. Again, easier said than done. Who replaces him? Again, that's when hopefully Sterling can pick up and go into the central midfield area. But again, there's a lot of variables at play the day before as well. Obviously, you're talking about the Celtic and Hearts result. I do expect Celtic to win, but if Hearts pick something up, that's them guaranteed the third place. They only need a point to guarantee third place. So that would give Kilmarnock really nothing to play for on the Sunday. So you've got to look at those sort of things. Do they ever come into play under the McInnes team? I don't think so. I'd expect Hearts to have a go. As I said, not expecting them to do much, as they didn't do anything against us either a couple of weeks ago. Decent record against Celtic this season, but yeah, probably a bridge too far from them. If there's any slip-up coming for them, it's either next weekend against ourselves or Kilmarnock away. But just for us, just got to keep chugging along and hoping that we can get another victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting when you talk about, because there's obviously some good stuff to be able to try and break down there. Let's go from the back all the way through to the front. Not looking to be able to try and make any changes then in terms of bringing Connor Goldson back in, because I think that he is looking at this game with obviously one eye on going to Parkhead next week. Mm-hmm. And if Liam Balogun starts on Sunday, which I do believe he will, then yeah, I think he has to play him at Parkhead. Now, I think it's too much of a risky game to bring Connor Goldson back in. Now, I know people will say, well, you know, he's played in plenty of Oldham, you know, derbies, but he's never been dropped. And let's face it,
he's under pressure.
You can dance around this as much as you want. He's been dropped. I think everyone can agree on that now. And that's a hell of a game to be able to try and bring him back for. I don't know if we do that. I agree with you, by the way. I would keep Balogun for Sunday. I would keep Balogun for next week. Yilmaz, we will have to try and see. But as you've just rightly said, for the same reason, I would love if Ridvan Yilmaz would be able to play against them at Parkhead. He's had a long layoff, though. This is the only issue. How long, if he was able to play, could he play on Sunday? Could he play on, you know, the following week? Where I just think that game's come a little bit too quickly for him.
Yeah, this weekend I definitely think it's probably came too early. Whether we can get half an hour out of him on Sunday, I'm not too sure. Obviously, we could talk around Jack as well, but I don't even know the last time he kicked a ball, to be honest with you.
I don't think whilst the league is in play, Ryan Jack's going to be involved. And again, I'm not saying that to sound disrespectful, but we are where we are with him, right? I think that everyone knows the situation now with Ryan Jack. He won't be a Rangers player next season. I think that's fairly safe to say. I don't think, even if he was to play on Sunday, if he was to play in the Old Firm game, I think he would look to be able to try and have an eye and get involved in the Euro squad. And I still don't even think that's going to happen if he were to play all those games. So I think that, you know, that ship is very much sailed for him. Interesting, though, when you talk about John Lundstrom in terms of, you think that his head's gone. I do agree that his performances have dipped. What I'd like to have seen a little bit more of, and I think we saw patches of it in St Mirren, because we didn't start well in Paisley. We have that early scare, and then we get our noses in front. And then after that, it just looked a little bit more... There was an injection of confidence, right? That's fair to say. And then you saw a bit of that Lundstrom play come out, looked a lot better. And I'm wondering, Simon, as to whether or not we're Mohamed Diomande playing alongside him. You mentioned earlier on he doesn't want to take risks. And I agree with that totally, by the way. I think at times he's very comfortable playing it safe.
Yeah.
And I think that when he has Diomande there, who does want the ball when there's players around him, you know, he does want to be able to take it in close quarters. I think that that takes a little bit of the pressure off John Lundstrom as well. Now, I can't advocate players get across to Turkey. I really can't. I just think it's bizarre in terms of what they do across there. But if he is going to end up, you know, signing with a new club, I will be honest, I do still believe that there's a part of John Lindstrom who will want to try and give everything that he can until he finishes being a Rangers player. I think the challenge with that, however, is that he's not been playing well enough, and I don't think he has enough games now to be able to recover that form to finish that in a real high. He's going to play in the Scottish Cup final. I've got zero doubt about that. So I still think he's going to be featured, and I think the manager is likely just going to say, you know, just see out your time in a high. Just, you've had some great memories here, you've had some great success, but just see it out as best you possibly can. And he's going to have to be able to try and get whatever he can out the footballing time we have left with him.
Yeah, I mean, we look back to one of his best performances was the Hampden semi a couple of years ago. Obviously, they're running Europe as well, but he's got to find something over these next couple of weeks just to prove that his head's not went. I do like Diamandé in midfield, I've got to say. That's the one. If we're going to persist with the two of them, I want to see. Then you're shuffling Cantwell elsewhere in the field. Try and put in Sterling into that midfield with them, because especially against Celtic next week, we've got to beef up that midfield to have a chance, because we're far too open. So I think next weekend it's got to be a more disciplined midfield, and then hope that we can nick something on the counter. That's the thing. Whether we'll change it up tactically, I don't know, but I'd like to see a far more stronger midfield. Maybe even starting this weekend as well, just to try it, because we've even seen against teams like Hibs at home, we're far too open and we get caught out time and time again, especially through the middle. So the one time that I've liked the look of us was the Hearts game recently. We played a lot of ball through the middle of the park and it seemed to work. Obviously, with a lack of wingers now as well, we might be forced to change it up that way. Cantwell stepped up a little bit as well. We're playing a lot of balls through him, so could that be a tactic we use against Celtic? I'm not too sure, but it's one I'd like to see us try. Starting this weekend, if we can get the midfield sorted out, then we've got a wee chance getting into the next couple of games.
I think that the big problem here is what we do on the left-hand side, because when you look at, I mean, Fabio Silva for me now has...
Can't play. Yeah,
he's just now at a stage where he can't do it. And it's incredibly frustrating because that guy does have talent. But with one eye on Parkhead, I just don't think we can, genuinely, I just don't think we can trust him in terms of what he has to be able to try and do. And I cannot see him being able to try and do what he is capable of doing within that atmosphere. I think he's going to end up crumbling. And if that's going to be the case, then I think he's going to have to be able to try and include Dijon Sterling in that particular area of the park, just for lack of options, if nothing else.
Yeah, I do think, though, that the lack of pace is a killer, especially going to Parkhead. That's the one that will kill us if we don't get somebody like, say, even Matondo back, because I would probably play him out in the wide left area purely because we can get the ball over the top and he can go and run in behind. Him and Dessers could cause some issues that way. That's probably how I'd go for it. It's not ideal on paper, either player, to be honest with you, but it's all we've got, and if Matondo's fit, I would probably play him. I would put Sterling into the midfield for that one.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Cyril Dessers, because match winner again on Sunday. We obviously had the Rangers Player of the Year awards last Sunday after the St Mirren game, and James Tavernier presented with the Sam English top goal scorer bowl. But it could be slightly premature, and by God, I hope it is, because there could be a chance, a very thin chance, right? So I don't want to pretend as if I'm completely rewriting things, but there could be a chance that could end up going to Cyril Dessers if he continues on this run of form. Yep. And if we are looking to be able to finish with the league and the Scottish Cup, we are going to have to use Cyril Dessers now, because I just don't think we are going to get anything else out of Kamal Roof. Fabio Silva has already been mentioned that we don't have him as an option either. So it's really now at this stage, Dessers are bust. And it's bizarre, right? Because, you know, we're in this situation just through a whole load of incredible circumstances. But Cyril Dessers, you know, could play a very, very important part in terms of what we are doing at the moment. And do you know what? Some of his proponents would say he already has played a very important role.
Yeah, I mean, he has. That's the thing. You look at the goals, 20-odd goals this season now. But then you look on the flip side when there was clear-cut easy chances up at Ross County. Then they blazed it over the bar and you're thinking, I mean, other times is that this season he's done it. So on the whole, he's put the ball in the net, but there's been some real glaring issues with his finishing. And he's admitted it himself that he's not the polished article in terms of goal scoring. But yeah, for me, it's 50-50 on him. I do like some of the way he plays the game, and he's in the right place at the right time, but he's very instinctive, and that's something that he can't really teach in terms of strikers. He's one of these ones when he's got time, kind of like Miller before him, when they've got time to think about what they're going to do, it ends up in Rosetta, whatever, 9 times out of 10. But we just need to hope he finds something over these next couple of weeks. There's a bit of belief in him. All he can do is just keep on doing what he's doing, get into those positions and hope that the ball drops his way. That's the thing. Would I be surprised if he ends up scoring another couple of goals this season and helping us to another trophy or two? No, I wouldn't, because he never lets his head drop, and he's that type of infectious player that the fans do get behind, even though at times this season we've been a little bit frustrated by him. But there's definitely something there, and he's a player I'd probably keep around getting into next season as well, because if you've got a goal scorer like that, he can chip in every now and again.
Yeah, and listen, you know, I think you're being kind in terms of saying, you know, the fans have been a bit frustrated. I think that frustration has boiled over a lot of times, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I have criticised them, but again, I've wanted to be fair in that and be able to try and praise them, you know, absolutely when he deserves it. And I'm going to do that right now, actually, because one of the things you picked up on there as well, Simon, an absolutely brilliant point about Cyril Dessers is he doesn't let his head go down. And I think you do have to give him a lot of credit from going from getting booed when he's getting taken off the park to basically becoming almost our single source of goals at the moment. And he doesn't stop. And again, it's credit to the management team and obviously the coaching and fitness teams. But he looks far fitter now than he does. Mm-hmm. And again, you can never criticise his work rate. He will continue to move and cause problems and create opportunities. I thought his positioning for both goals in Paisley was fantastic. And I think I mentioned to you boys before, actually, when we were talking about it, you swap him out with Kamar Roof. I think everybody says that's a natural, predatory, instinctive striker who's in the right place at the right time. Well, you're going to have to give the same credit to Cyril Dessers, because if he's not where he is, then I genuinely don't think we take the 3 points coming back up the road. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the manager's lineup again, because I think that there is definitely going to be one eye on you know, Parkhead, because he's going to have to be able to try and take a team there that's going to have to try and do everything it possibly can to recover top spot and be able to ideally bring us league title number 56. Simon, that will do us for this week. A really great chat. Thank you so much for being able to come on. I think some great stuff that we've covered there as well. And if we're both saying that we're thinking that Celtic will beat Hearts, then I sincerely hope that we are very, very wrong by Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I hope so too. That's the thing. I'm predicting wins for us and this weekend, and then we'll see how we get on the following weekend.
Yeah. If Lawrence Shankland was to score the winner against Celtic, then I will absolutely jump onto the Lawrence Shankland hype train. Sign him there. absolutely. Folks, just a little bit of housekeeping as well. If you've enjoyed listening to Simon and I, and Simon does an excellent show on our Patreon network called The Rangers Roundtable, it comes to you every Monday morning, and it really talks about all things Rangers, all of the kind of footballing stories across the weekend as well, and the kind of wider sphere of the Rangers world. An excellent show. Simon, what's Monday's topic coming up?
Monday's topic's... Well, we asked for question and answers from the subscribers, and they've delivered. So I think we've got about 40-odd questions so far. So we're going to record that, and then we'll be getting those questions out to everybody on Monday morning. And then the following week, we'll be doing an Old Firm special. So we'll have full coverage. I think myself, Kev and is it Grant coming on for that one? So that'll be a good one, especially if we get the win on the Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I say, a whole host of other great shows. And it's actually, and I want to give him a little shout out as well to our very own Martin Ramsey, who was involved in an excellent production, which if you've been able to watch it on RTV, if you haven't yet, go and watch it. It's fantastic. And that's One Night in May, talking about, obviously, winning the title at Parkhead in 1999. The boy Ramsey's got an excellent voice. He's fairly pretty as well, Simon, but a fantastic program, and I've already heard some great stuff about it as well from people who've had the opportunity to watch it before I did. I completely agreed with their comments, and listen, great to see the big man in such a great air of company alongside Neil McCann and Amoruso, Perini, etc. as well. So yeah, great watch.
Yeah, it always is. I watched it over lunchtime today, actually. It was that one thing I picked up for Neil McCann was he was talking about getting into the game. There was never any talk about them dropping points, drawing the game. It was just about, we're going to win, what are we going to win by? So the current squad would do well to watch that one-hour documentary and see what it's like to go to Parkhead and give them a right good scudding.
Yeah, absolutely. David, we'll be back with you on Monday, folks, as pair on the flagship to break down everything across Sunday's game against Kilmarnock as well. If you're heading along, hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to our executive producers in London, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. Thank you to our extra show sponsors, Zenith Coins. Please head on over to zenithcoins.com and check out some great merchandise that's on their site. But my most important thanks has to go to my wonderful guest this week, Mr. Simon Halloran. Simon, thank you so much for coming on, and love chatting to you about Rangers, and hopefully everyone else has enjoyed listening to us as well.
Yeah, pleasure as always. Thanks for having me on.
Folks, have a brilliant weekend. Let's get 3 points when we get back home on Sunday, and we'll speak to you again next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.